Before we hear about the Bible reading, let's pray to God, ask for his help in understanding it. Let's pray. Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you that you speak in your word and that through your word people can discover Jesus and come to put their faith in him. We pray that you'll help us to understand this story of the farmer, the seed and the soil this evening. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're up to the middle of the book. We're up to where it says Bible Message. And you can follow what I'm saying all the way through if you want to, or you can just listen to me and read it later. Tonight we are going to think about Jesus' story about the farmer, the farmer's seed, and the soil. I hope you know that soil is another word for earth or ground, and we talk about soil when we're talking about gardening or farming often, don't we? Now, Jesus liked to teach people about God using stories. He told a lot of stories that we find in the Bible. The Bible calls these stories parables. Now, the parable is just a word for a story that teaches you something. And this year in Easy English Church, we're going to learn about some of these parables of Jesus. They are some of the best known stories in the Bible. And these stories teach us about what God is like. They teach us about what God does. And they teach us what we should do. Now tonight, we're looking at one of Jesus' most famous stories. It's often called the parable of the sower. Jesus told this parable to people who lived in cities and villages near his home. Now, these people were following Jesus around and coming to him. He's very popular at this time. They wanted to hear him teach. They also wanted him to heal their diseases because he was able to heal with God's power. But maybe they weren't expecting him to tell them a story about a farmer. But that's what Jesus did, and we can read the simple story he told in verses 5 to 8, which I read to you earlier. The verses, by the way, are those little numbers in the middle of the Bible reading. Now, in Jesus' story, he says that he begins saying that the farmer was throwing or scattering seeds on his farm. I've put a picture, a famous painting, actually, by a French artist on the cover of the book. Have a look at the cover of the book for a second. Now you can see there that it's a picture of a farmer and he's got a bag and he's chucking, as we say, Australians say chucking, throwing some stuff out of his hand. And what is that? Well, that's seed, isn't it? So he's throwing the seed on the field. I was talking to our friend Karam, who's from Egypt. Karam was telling me that in some places in Egypt, they still farm like this. So when Karam was teaching in his old church in Alexandria, they knew and he talked about the parable of the sower, they knew what he was talking about. Australians maybe don't see this very much, but here's a picture for you. This is France, almost 200 years ago. And that's how the farmer is planting the seed. When you saw the word sower, that's just a word for the farmer is the sower. The farmer is the one. And we talk about sowing the seed. It's not the same spelling as sowing. It's S-O-W, not S-E-W. So that's what's going on. Now, when the farmer's doing that, he can't control where all the seed goes because there's wind. There's bits of land, as you'll see, bits of land that aren't as good for growing as other bits. But he just needs to keep going, just throw the seed. He hopes and expects most of it will go somewhere good. So Jesus talked about how different seeds, when the farmer threw out the seed, different seeds fell on different types of ground, didn't they? And there were four types. Now the first type of ground was a hard path. This was the part of the farm where people walked. They walked on it to get to other parts of the farm. So here the ground was very hard. Now, if the seed falls on the hard ground, it can't take root. It can't start growing because it can't even get into the ground. It just sits there. And then the birds come and eat it up. This is a waste of seed, isn't it? Then the second type of ground was the rocky ground. The soil here was full of rocks. So not much water could soak into the soil and help the seeds to grow. So the seeds die very quickly. This is a waste of more seed, isn't it? And then there was a third type of ground in this parable, and that was the thorny ground. The thorny ground was full of weeds. In the thorny ground, the seeds did grow up into plants. But then they had to compete. It was very crowded because of the thorns or the weeds. So you've got the plants you want, and then you've got the weeds, and the plants can't grow up properly. So what we call the potential of the seeds to become a large crop of plants, well, that potential is wasted. But then the fourth type of ground Jesus talked about was the good ground. This ground was soft and prepared for the seed to grow in it. So the seed grew up into many, many plants, a good crop, making a happy farmer. And then at the end of this, Jesus said, if you have ears, you will hear what I'm saying. And I wonder who has ears here tonight. But after Jesus told the story, there was only one problem. When he told the story, nobody understood what he was really talking about. What do you mean? Seeds, grounds, what? But the disciples knew there would be an important point, but they didn't know what it was. So Jesus' disciples or his followers had to ask him about it. In verse 9 of our reading, they asked him what the story meant. Because Jesus' parables were teaching stories, as I said, and they were easy to remember. You could remember there was some seed and some ground. There was some, other times there were some sheep, or other things. They were easy to remember, but they were much harder to understand. So in fact, people who were enemies of God, they couldn't understand them. But Jesus' followers were able to understand them, especially if they listened to him. So these parables were really for Jesus' disciples back in those days, and they're also for Jesus' followers today. But Jesus had to explain the story to them, and he needs to explain it to us as well. So let's see what he says. Now in verse 11, so go down. It's a bit hard for you to read both bits at once, isn't it? But in verse 11, Jesus says, here is what the story means. The seed is God's message. So Jesus explains here that the seed is the word or the message of God. So the farmer throwing the seed on the fields is a picture of someone preaching the good news about God's kingdom to the world. Telling people about God's kingdom is exactly what Jesus did. And then it was what his followers did at that time. And it's what Jesus' followers do today. God's people take his message to the world. Now, Christians have been telling people about Jesus now for about 2,000 years, haven't they? But have you noticed that not everyone who hears the message about Jesus becomes a follower of Jesus? Not everybody believes. Why is that? Well, Jesus explains why by talking about four different types of people. So the soils, the types of ground show us four different types of people and what happens when the message comes to each of them. In verse 12, Jesus talks about the hard ground, the seed that fell on the pathway. Now, when Jesus tells the story of the seed that falls on the hard pathway, he's showing us what happens to those who hear the message of God. So they do hear it, but they reject it and they never believe it. Jesus says they are robbed by the devil and he takes away God's message from their hearts. Well, who's the devil? Well, the devil is God's spiritual enemy, not somebody you can see. The devil's our enemy as well, and he tries to trick and deceive us and keep us away from God's word and away from believing. Jesus says that the people who are like the hard ground sadly cannot be saved because they never believe God's message. And this is very serious and very dangerous for them. because they cannot be forgiven by God and made friends with him. Now you might think, oh well, Ben's talking about people who never come to church. And maybe they hear about God somewhere, but they don't believe it, they never come to church. But I'm not just talking about those people, sadly. Jesus is not just talking about the people who stay outside the church. Sometimes people can come to church and still be the hard ground, still be like the hard ground. These people can still be hard against God's word. Even a child from a Christian family can sit in church every week and hear the minister talking, and the child can say to themselves, no, I don't really believe this. And they maybe for a while they pretend to believe it, but they're just keeping their parents happy. Actually, God's message is just bouncing off them. The seed is bouncing off the ground almost. It's bouncing off them like bullets bounce off Superman. Some people can hear God's good news about Jesus, something we call the gospel. They can hear this one time, they can hear it 10 times, they can hear it 100 times, but it never sinks in. That's another expression you might know. It never sinks into the soil. It never takes root. It never takes root in them at all. And there's no growth from the gospel seed. And it's very sad. It's a tragedy. But Jesus wants his disciples to know that sometimes this is what happens when you teach, when you preach the gospel, when you bring God's word. Jesus is wise and realistic. He recognizes and he tells his disciples that sometimes this is what happens. This is what happens. So we need to pray that we will not be hard, but that we'll be soft when God's word comes to us, that we can receive it. Now in verse 13, we're up to the second one, we have the rocky ground. Now these are people who seem to make a good start when they hear God's message, but they give up when it gets difficult. Actually, there's no depth to them and no depth to their faith. People who are like the rocky ground, they're very excited. They're very enthusiastic when they first hear God's message about Jesus. Jesus says they receive the word with joy. They're joyful. So using the picture of the parable, the seed of the gospel grows into a plant very quickly. You see a plant and you say, oh, hooray, there's a plant. But you don't see what's going on underneath. And actually the roots of the plant, because there's no water, the roots of the plant are not going deep. And if the roots don't go in a long way, then actually the future of the plant is not good. Jesus is teaching that emotions like joy by themselves are just not enough to make a real change in them. I think that I cry watching some movies more than my wife does, I think. Just almost any little emotional thing that's happening in the movie, or, you know, I don't know, the couple get together, I'm crying. And sometimes I think, I'll never be the same again after that movie. That was so moving. I'm gonna change my life. I'm gonna do better. I'm gonna be, you know, more loving to my wife. I don't know, something. It doesn't really happen, does it, hon? We think the emotion is gonna change us, but actually emotion by itself doesn't usually change us. There needs to be more. I think we need to be convinced at a deeper level of something. Our will, as we say, needs to be really affected. And our thinking, our intellect, our beliefs, maybe. Because emotions don't actually affect our beliefs, really. They're a wave. So that's what I'm trying to say. Emotions like joy by themselves are not enough to make a real change in people. In the case of these rocky ground people, God's gospel never goes deeply into their hearts. So their faith is shallow. Jesus then says that when these people are tested, for instance, when they're tempted by something to take them away from God they go. Their faith is not deep enough to hold them in place, and the plant dies. It's another tragedy. We need more than just a change in the way we feel. We need a change in the direction of our hearts, in what we really care about. Now in verse 14, we see the thorny ground. These people make a better start, but there's an important confusion in their lives. Jesus talks about the worries, the riches, and the pleasures which crowd out the growth of their faith. All three of these things can be a problem. I'm sorry to tell the younger people, but our lives usually become more complicated as we get older, more filled with worries, maybe with riches or pleasures, or sometimes all three. We all have worries, don't we? Some of us have riches too. And we are all interested in some pleasures, some of which can even become addictions for us. Jesus is saying that worries, riches, and pleasures can all become serious distractions from living faithfully for God. They can take our eyes away from Jesus, take our attention away from God and our efforts away from God. Things that we love too much or things that worry us too much. Jesus says these difficulties and distractions can be very serious for people because they crowd out the growth of the seed of the gospel in them. Therefore, their faith does not mature in them and they do not produce fruit. Now, fruit is a new idea, but it's connected with farming. I guess we imagine the farmer, maybe he's planting grapes or something. He doesn't just want some grape bushes with some leaves. He wants grape bushes with fruit on them, right? Great, and they're called vines, aren't they? Vines with fruit on them. So the farmer, in the end, he wants fruit. And the Bible talks about fruit, spiritual fruit in our lives. So in this meaning, fruit is the things that Christians do in their lives that shows the reality of their faith, shows that the plant of their faith is healthy, it's grown to maturity, and it's producing fruit. Lovely grapes, for instance. But fruit, spiritual fruit is things like joy, also, which we talked about before, but genuine joy, but also acts of love and kindness. Fruit like making peace with other people, like gentleness, like patience, and self-control. The thorny people never produce much of this, because the growth of their faith has been crowded out by these other things, the worries, the riches, and the pleasures. The growth of their faith has even been choked to death, so they can't produce the fruit that Jesus is looking for. How sad this is, and again, what a waste this is. And we all need to think about this because we all have worries, maybe riches, and pleasures in our lives, and we need to make sure that they're not more important to us than loving God and serving Him. So we need to pull these weeds out of our hearts sometimes. Maybe stop doing something that is a distraction for us. We need to make sure that worries, riches, or pleasures, or all of them, don't stop us from growing in Jesus. So let's not be thorny. Now at last in verse 15 we have the good ground. Jesus says that the good ground is a picture of people who have an honest and good heart. Once they have faith, they mature and they endure. So mature means become adult and fully grown. And endure means you can keep going even when things are hard. Endurance, like a marathon, a long race, that's an endurance race. A marathon runner can endure. A sprinter, Usain Bolt, he probably could do a marathon, but he does sprints. And that's not an endurance race, that's a quick race. But people who are like the good ground, they mature and they endure. In these people, the ground of their hearts has been prepared. Their heart is softened. It's open and ready to receive God's gospel, to receive the good news about God's kingdom. And after this seed is planted in the good ground, the soft, prepared ground, after the seed is planted there, the growth is amazing. This is what Jesus says. 100 times what was planted. The growth is amazing. Jesus is teaching that God's word, the gospel, should change us. And it should make us grow in love and goodness. When God's word has started to change us, we will begin to produce the fruit God wants to see. And I've listed some from another book of the Bible called Galatians. We will begin to produce joy, love, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness and self-control. Think of it this way. If your friend, somebody you know, became a Christian today, they say, oh, you won't believe, I trust in Jesus, I believe in Jesus now, and you say, oh, that's good, that's great. And then for some reason, you don't see them for a year. Maybe one of you goes overseas. Right, so if your friend became a Christian today, and then for some reason you don't see them again until a year later, you should see a difference in that person. They should be showing more of this fruit we talked about, this spiritual fruit. Especially you should see an increase in their love for God and their love for others. Now, Jesus doesn't say, I think, the Bible doesn't say exactly how much difference there should be, like how quickly we should, how quickly this will happen in different people, that the difference you might see in them after a year might be large or it might be smaller. But if they have really become a follower of Jesus, God's Spirit will be changing them. And remembering that word endure, Jesus also says here that those with good hearts remain faithful. So they keep going. They keep going in their faith as the years go by. God's promise, then, is that many will believe, grow, and bear fruit like this. That's why he says there'll be 100 times what was sown, because this is going to happen to many people. So the farmer in this parable was not wasting his time when he sowed the seed. He wasn't wasting his time, was he? Even though some of the seeds didn't grow successfully into plants. In the same way, the preacher of God's word is not wasting his time, even though not everyone who hears him becomes a follower of Jesus. If we spread the good news about Jesus, he promises that one day there will be a big crop of believers, a big field full of plants, bearing the fruit of God's Spirit. So, as we finish, we need to think, what sort of ground are you? And what sort of heart do you have? Are you hard? Are you rocky? Are you thorny? Or do you have a good heart, an open heart? Is your heart ready and open to receive God's message with faith? Pray to God that your heart will be good ground for his gospel to grow in you. Amen.